also has an iPhone through the phone press.
Correct.
So I know there's some people that are sick. Doug and Diane are not doing well. I don't think I've ever seen Doug and Diane miss church other than being on vacation, so it must be a big deal. So definitely keep them in prayer this morning. I know there's others that are out still sick. But we're here. Amen. We have a guest pastor this morning, Mr. Jeff. Oh, no. I just have to give him a hard time. He looks really nice. It makes me not look so nice. Don't think I think you have an announcement, yes?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Operation Christmas Child is still going on. I finally got the list done today. My dad can print them off for you after church.
What? That's not what you said.
Yeah, it's what I'm saying now.
You said hand them out, not the print them off.
You have to copy them for them. These are master copies.
Wow.
So it includes a do not include list, which basically goes over, like, don't give them food or any liquid things like that. And then it goes through boys and girls age 2 to 4, boys and girls 5 to 9, and boys and girls 10 to 14. So you can choose whether it's a boy or a girl, and then what age range you want. And then these are just suggestions. It's not a get everything on the list, because there's, like, some of them are 4 pages long. It's just suggestions, gives you ideas of what to put in those boxes. I think that's all I have. Grab your third due, the 16th through the 23rd, I think.
Seems
really
late.
Probably.
That's your department. I give it to you.
Probably, like, by next Sunday we'll need them. Or the Sunday after, yeah. So they're due in about 2 weeks.
Yeah, I think we had 2 weeks to give them, so.
Yep.
Go shop, pack, bring them.
Right. Write Emily a check and she can have her to shop.
All right, let's open with a word of prayer. Father God, again, we just thank you. Okay, just come here into your house this morning. Father, there's a lot of our family that's away for different reasons this morning. We just pray for those that are not feeling well this morning, those that are sick. Father, we just pray healing over their bodies right now. Father, we just pray that you just touch their bodies, that you make them feel well, and not just well like how they felt before they got sick, but better than they've ever been before. That's what we pray. Thanks so often. We pray for just the scraps, and you want to give us so much more. And Father, there's been so many amazing things. I got another text this morning from someone else that took something natural, and it's totally changed how they're operating, Father. So you heal in so many different ways. And so, Father, we pray for that this morning. We pray for those that are just away doing other things. Father, I know there's some of our family members this morning that are going to another church to witness a baptism. How awesome is that? You know, to witness a life that has been committed to you, and they're celebrating and being obedient and living that out through the act of baptism. Father, we just pray over that service as they're in that service this morning and celebrating that with the youth that they've been part of. Father, that's amazing. We're part of this together. We are your body. And so, Father, it's easy to get focused on who we are here in this place, in this physical place this morning. But, Father, I pray that we never forget that we're part of a larger body, the larger bride of Christ. So, Father, I just pray this morning that we would just lift up our voices as we sing. Father, that we would just sing from hearts that are full of praise and adoration and love for you this morning, but also hearts that are reaching out to those around us as we sing praise. The enemy can't handle praise. He hates praise. So, Father, we just pray. I pray that we would just praise with everything that we have, that we would hear from you in a special, unique way this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and worship.
Oh,
Heavenly Father, I pray that that is truth that we just sang over ourselves. That in Christ alone our hope is found. Lord, the circumstances around us may seem hopeless, may seem that there is no way out, that the water has truly overtaken us, but we know that that is not true because your word tells us it's not going to happen. Fire be all around us, it will not burn us because you are faithful. So until you return or you call us home, we will stand in the power of the blood of your Son Jesus. Father, we humble ourselves before you. We surrender to your will over our life, your will over our families' lives, over our state, over our nation today, Lord. As we go into the elections this week, we pray that your will be done. You are the one that appoints the government officials. We stand here in awe of you, of all of the wonders you have already done, waiting in anticipation for what you will do in this next year. Whoever it may be, Lord, we ask that your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. We humble ourselves before you. We surrender. Our hope is only in you, not in our government officials. Our hope rests in you.
We thank you for all these things. In Jesus' name, amen.
You may be seated. Before we get into the words this morning, I just want to kind of keep in the where we've been the last few minutes. I mean, we've been singing some pretty declarative statements. Do we stand in awe of him? Do we, staying here in our knees, do we stand in awe? Do we surrender? I mean, this last song, here I am, down on my knees again, surrendering all. Surrendering all. Find me here, Lord, as you draw me near, desperate for you. I surrender. As we were singing that song, just we can't really surrender if we're being defiant, can we? As I was thinking in that as that song, just there's so much about that. I surrender. Just physical posture changes our attitude, changes mine. I was talking to someone this week, and they said, the closer we are to the ground, we have farther to fall. I love that statement. If we're down on our knees, we have farther to fall, because if we're on our knees, we're probably in a really good place where we're not going to fall. And as I thought about that, just as like, yeah, as we were singing, I was just thinking, I don't know why I had this kind of the picture of, it's not necessarily a good picture for us to kind of think about, but it is at the same time when we put it into the spiritual world. But if you think about an army that's taken over another army in battle, and they surrender, they're not defiant. They lay down their arms, and a lot of times when they surrender, the sign of surrender was your arms up, right? Your hands are up, because it's, I don't know all the symbolism that goes into that, but if you are, your hands are up, there's your hands are anywhere near to a hidden weapon if you have one, right? But how often do we come to Father with this, we sing these words, we say these words, but have we really surrendered our heart and life? Have we really surrendered the things that are going on in our life? Have we really surrendered those things so he can do what he wants to do in our lives? Are we desperate for him? This has nothing to do with the message, George. This is all extra, all right? But it just hit me as we were singing this song, and we did it in the practice, and it didn't hit me. But in this moment, as I was seeing that place, I know those moments when I've been in that place of desperation with Father and where my life, how it's different afterward. And when my life is not, you know, it's going well, but it's not in this place where it could be, it's because I'm not in that place of desperation. And I think so often we take desperation and put that in a negative. Desperation is a good thing. It really is. Right? If you're desperate for something, you will do whatever it takes. But so often, I don't know about if you're like me, but I wait till I get desperate when I've got nothing left and I'm on the bottom. There's nowhere else to go but up. I don't like learning that way, but that seems to be the way I've learned in the past. But I want to get to that place of desperation. But I want to get to that place of desperation when I'm in a good place. I want to be in a place of desperation when I'm in a place of power and connectedness with my Father. I can still be desperate even in that place. And I'm still surrendering those things in my life that are getting in the way. Those of you that were here last week, I kind of left us with a pretty charge last week. And it's been an interesting week for me. Just in those, because it wasn't just a charge to you, like I said last week. There was a charge, it was a teeing up. And I had to explain that term to someone this week. But you know, that this teeing up with like, man, we need to get teed up. And the conversations I've had this week and the experience, and they haven't been this like major light bulb moments. They've been really small and simple. Even after the end of last week, somebody came up and shared something that had been going on in their life and lives of others, and I needed to hear that encouraging word. Right? We all need to hear that. So it's not always about the negative. But here's the thing. Are we in that place of communicating with each other? And I sat Tuesday in my office, and I started texting people and connecting with people that I hadn't connected to within a couple of weeks, and everything was good and great because I was having this like, oh man, I just really ruined these relationships because I hadn't felt like I followed up fast enough. Right? And they were great and wonderful, and I had no meetings Tuesday, and then within the course of a few minutes, I had two meetings Tuesday night, and it was great, and I was here till, you know, later than normal, and it was awesome, and I loved it, and I love that kind of stuff when it happens. Why? Because I'm in that place of like, oh, Father's like, okay, you're ready to hear. Getting to that place, down on my knees again. And again, it's not about, ooh, look at Pastor, he's down on his knees up front. No, but that's where Father put me. If Father tells you to kneel on the floor, regardless of where you are, to pray or do whatever, that's what you should do. And if you do, you're in disobedient, and then things get really sideways. Most of you know, if you don't know, I'm going to refresh your, if you don't know already, I'll tell you. Most of you heard me talk about going to the bars and like, being a witness, just going there and sitting and listening. I finally went to Schwab Wednesday, and it was awesome because I felt like I was talking to somebody else. I felt like I've been disobedient and not going. It's like weird. You feel like you're a pastor. You're going to be being disobedient by not going to the bars, right? Most pastors be the other way, right? But this is what God has called me to do. And it was a really small crowd. There's only about 15 people in the whole place. Three musicians, because open mic night, because that's where I like to go. I don't like to listen to canned music. I like to listen to it. And I'm constantly amazed by the level of talent in these little bars. Yes, they're singing secular songs. I get it. But here's the thing. Where'd that gifting come from? Right? You know, and so it's I'm excited about that. And so it's like so little things that the Father has asked me to do. I'm finally stepping into that place and getting some really good advice and counsel from people this week and just speaking in my life. And it's just been, there's been a lot of things I've needed to hear. And it seems like everybody I've talked to, there's been these reoccurring themes that have come through, things that I need to work on. And it's not any like big spiritual, well, it is spiritual things, but it's things I need to do for myself, for, you know, because somebody asked me, what do you do for rejuvenating yourself? Right? Like, nothing. I mean, I have a good time, but it's like there's nothing I do outside of, you know, work here and go home and do life there. But it came to my mind that the things I used to do all went away at one season in time, and then I had all this major trauma after that, and I didn't replace it or go back to those things I used to do that filled my soul up in those moments. And so it's been a really good, great, amazing week. And again, it just kind of, again, just ties into this place where we've been in 1 John. And again, we're here this morning in 1 John chapter 4. And this whole thing, 1 John chapter 4, verse 6, we are from God. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to this, to us. By this, we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. And so often we get, again, I know we've talked about this. I was looking over my notes, you know, from previous messages over the months. And just this whole, there's so many themes that just keep coming back and keep coming back and keep coming back. And it's like, obviously we need to keep hearing this. We are from God. And when we listen to God, man, it's just amazing where our life and our hearts and our minds are. I was driving in Anchorage yesterday, and it's just, and you see things. Things that are really cool. I was driving in Anchorage yesterday to do some paperwork and with our bookkeeper in town. And I on Fifth Avenue there was a strip club called Fantasies. Don't ask me how I know where it is, but it's right on Fifth Avenue. You can't miss it. All right, try across from Merrill Field. And it's been there for years. And it's been closed for years. I drove by there yesterday. I saw a new sign. Open Door Baptist Church. Took over that building. Now I'm wanting to go in and talk to the people that took that building over, because I can only imagine. Hopefully they have prayed through that building. Right? But how cool is that? That here's a building that's been redeemed. Right? Because it's not about the building. Right? But I just, it's always fascinating me when that happens. Again, I'm not vilifying the people that went there when there was a strip club. Because we do that. Do we not, as church people? Oh, look at those girls. They're just, you know, taking their clothes off for money. Right? But they're broken. Just like the clients that are going there and watching it. They're broken. Right? So it's like, so it's just really cool to see. And I had a coworker that used to be a bouncer. That's why I mainly know where it is. I didn't go. I'm just saying. That's not, I haven't been stretched that far yet. Right? But I'm just saying, that it was just really cool as I drove by it. And Father's like, look at this. We're on Fifth Avenue. It's no longer a strip club. It's a place of worship. So I want to go talk to the people that are running, the pastors. Open Door Baptist Church, man, I love it. Now, I've got my own things from my Baptist background, and those, some good, some bad, right? Because a lot of times I think Baptists would think rigid and legalistic, and there can be that. But if they've walked into a strip club and I've turned into a church. I was thinking that's a pretty forward Baptist brothers and sisters, right? If they got the right heart. And hopefully they're not doing it from a condemnation place. Because they can do that too. And there's no value in that. So anyway, I was super encouraged by that. Again, do we know that we are from God? Do we know, and do we know who our shepherd is? In John chapter 10. John chapter 10, starting in verse 14. I am the good shepherd. I know my own. And my own know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also. And they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. I love this word from Jesus. I am the good shepherd. I know my own. Yes, it says that, and my own know me. But the most important thing is that he knows us, right? That we're known by him. They will listen to my voice. And I love that. Why? Why will they listen? Why will they know him? So that there will be one flock and one shepherd. There is no other shepherd besides Jesus Christ. There is no other way. There is no other bride of Christ. This is it. I don't know. That's a very dogmatic statement, but I will stick to it. Because there's lots of places out there that believe, well, there's other ways. There's other shepherds. There's other leaders that are really good. Well, if those leaders aren't committed to Jesus Christ, they're just a good leader. They're not really much value. If they're not committed to Jesus Christ, if they're not following him, if they're not, their whole focus is about one flock, one shepherd. Right? And that's one of the things I've always wrestled with, especially in the last, I don't know how long. I really, and I'll use this word liberally, I hate denominations. I really do. Because denominations, what it does is separates us. Right now, I get, everybody has different doctrines and we come up with all these different kinds of things. And I get why all that's there. Mostly. Some of it I don't understand. That's why I keep stripping it down. What's the most important things? Can we agree on the things that are important? Can we agree on the, and you've heard me talk about this lots of times, and I'll keep talking about it lots of times. Can we agree on the virgin birth? Can we agree that Jesus died and was raised again? Can we agree that he is the only way to heaven? Right? Is there anything else that really matters? I mean, there's all the other things. I'm not saying the rest of the Word of God, it doesn't matter. It does. But if it doesn't support those things, I care. But at the same time, I don't really care, because if we don't get that right, the rest of it doesn't matter. If we don't love each other, like we're going to go into in chapter 5 of 1 John for however long, talking about love. If we don't love each other like Christ loves us, it doesn't matter what I believe about end times. It doesn't matter what I believe about all these other things, because that's the most important thing. And I know I harp on this a lot too, and I'll keep harping on it. Husbands, if we don't love our wives like Christ loved the church, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whatever else we are successful at. If we don't love our wives well, like Christ loved the church, I don't care how successful you are. I don't care how much money you have. I don't care about anything else. I care about how you love your wife. I care about how you love your children. I care about how you love the people around you. That matters to me, nothing else. We can talk about the rest of it. That's cool. But at the end of the day, that's what matters. We know we are from God. By this we know the Spirit of truth and the spirit of error. And man, that's so important as we face any season. And like Emily was praying about, just the election's coming up this week. Yeah, we probably all have what we would rather have. But I remember staying up here 4 years ago and going, man, I didn't see who won that was going to win. I didn't think that was ever going to happen. Like, we're going to get what we deserve. Well, here we are again, right? And don't get me wrong, I'm still praying for God's mercy because I'd still like to, well, there's a little honorary side of me that likes for other reasons, but I won't go there. But by and large, like, man, where is the spirit of truth? And do we have to have the ability to see what is really true and what is lie? And what are we basing that truth on? I love in this here in 1 John, the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. The spirit of truth is a big S, spirit of error is a little S. Pay attention to those things when you're reading scripture. In John chapter 14, it's talking about the spirit of truth. In John chapter 14, starting in verse 15. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. Even the spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, you know him, for he dwells with you. For he dwells with you and will be in you. I love 18. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while and the world will see me no more, but you will see me because I live. You also will live. We have another helper. He promised that. We know it. If we're children of God this morning, I pray that you understand the power that resides inside of you. We have the helper. We've talked about the Holy Spirit over and over again through all kinds of different things. And we can't get tired of that. We can't get just used to the idea that we have the resurrection power inside our lives. Right? Isn't that what the word says? We have resurrection power. So when we can, I'm stuck in this place. And yes, I'm not saying we can't get stuck. It takes us to go through. But I know for me personally, and this is just me, I know when I get in that place, I've forgotten who I am and what I'm sitting in. And I've asked for too small of a thing. That's like when we ask for healing, and we ask whatever. We ask for, I fall into this category too. It just becomes a canned prayer. Oh, Father, bless them. Oh, Father, please heal them. Or let them get better. Okay, that's not necessarily a bad prayer, but it can be more. Right? Do we believe in the God that spoke and continues to speak all things into existence? Do you think that he cannot speak whatever is going on in our life just like, oh, okay. But here's the thing. Yes, sometimes he does it just because he wants to. But he likes to be asked. Don't we like to be asked? Right? If we have the power to fix somebody's problem, don't we like to be asked? Right? Yeah, sometimes we'll do it. And a lot of times when they ask us, we'll give them what they want. Sometimes we'll give them more. But with God, we do that all the time. We don't ask for enough. He's like, okay, I'll give you that little teaspoon of power. But I have this whole bucket right here I can just immerse you in. How about that? What would that do for you? Right? Another helper to be with you forever, the spirit, even the spirit of the truth whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him or knows him. So here, then that's the thing. What are we here to exist? What exists to do? What are we anointed to do? Anointed to bring good news. Thank you. I think we need to refresh that. Right, because that's the good news. The good news that they can walk in this place of power and freedom and victory. But again, like I've said countless times, we need to live that out and express that in our own lives. Because you're not going to go get advice from somebody making $5 an hour if you're trying to be a millionaire, do you? That's kind of stupid. Because they're broke. I know how to be broke. That's easy. It's not about accumulation of wealth. I'm just saying it's an easy example, right? You want to go and be around those people that have what you're pursuing. good. I like that. It's like that old statement, you know, if you're in the smartest person in the room, you're in the wrong room. Right? There's a lot of truth to that. I don't want to be the smartest person in the room. That's a scary place. Right? Though, and here's the thing, the world can't see them. The world has, what we're talking about and the idea that you have a Holy Spirit living inside, that just sounds weird to them. Oh, you're possessed? Yeah, I am. I'm possessed. I'll take that. Of the right spirit. Right? Now, I love that last phrase in verse 19. Because I live, you also will live. That's why when I talk about, as every time when I think about people giving their lives to Christ, they haven't drawn a breath of freedom or a breath of life until that moment. When that really sunk into my thought process, it really just changes everything. Because, yeah, they're breathing in and out physically. But the difference of breathing in and out before and after Christ are two different breaths altogether. And it should be even physically feel different. I think too often we put it, just keep it in the spiritual world, and that's fine, but everything we do as believers is spiritual. Right? There's nothing that we don't do that doesn't engage the spiritual life, that doesn't engage Father God. No, not about you, but man, I want to really live. And people equate living with lots of money or lots of stuff or lots of whatever. That's not necessarily life. Because I know and I've read, I'm sure you all have too, of people that have everything and they are dead and don't have a life. And they're depressed and they're suicidal. And they're like, how in the world can you be suicidal? You have millions of dollars and you have all these houses throughout the world and you have private jets and whatever else they have. And they're, why? It doesn't satisfy because they don't have a life. They don't have life. They have the ability to breathe. That's it. They don't have the ability to have life outside of God. In John chapter 16, verses 13 through 15, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, and for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. There's a lot in those few little verses. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. And but even all that truth doesn't come from him. It comes from the Father. It comes, it is all this interconnectedness. Right? All this power. All this protection, all this knowledge, this is what we have access to. And again, we walk around like we have nothing. And I get to that place where, you know, I worry about things, I get stressed out about things. But man, if I really lived in that place, that wouldn't even be part of my life. That's not living in this place, because you can get into that place where it's like, oh, they're untouchable and they just nothing phases them, and oh wow, what a bad place to be. Right? But here's the thing, not to the place, because you can get, I've been around those kinds of people, and then they just, I don't know, there's just no empathy, there's no ability to like look at somebody else's struggle. Cause I don't know as if, I mean, I would love to get to this place where I never worry about ever about anything, and I know exactly all the time, 24/7, who I am and the power that I walk in, and I'm getting closer to that, but I don't know if I'm ever going to get there. I think it's always going to be pursuit, and I'm okay with that, because then it keeps you in that place of dependence on God and not feeling to the place where I've arrived. And when I believe when people get to that place of criticism and judgment, it's because a couple different things. One, they either think they've arrived, I've been around those people that legitimately think that, and they're really scary to me. Or they're just, and please understand when I say this word, they're just ignorant in how to care for each other. Because I think a lot of times, and I know for myself, that I have done a lot of damage to my wife by being ignorant. We had that conversation the other day. We were driving. She's like, all the times that you've hurt me in life, this is because you went out and intentionally tried to hurt me. You did it because you were stupid. She didn't use those words. I'm using those words, right? But what she said, what I'd love to say is that every time either I or somebody else say, hey, look, this isn't how it should be, you changed. Then that made me feel good a little bit, but I still hate the fact that I hurt her, even in ignorance. I hate that. It kills me. Right? But here's the thing. The closer we get to understand and we get to that place where we have the Spirit of Truth and we understand that He will guide us and He will teach us and we understand all those things and not just understand, but we understand it. It becomes part of our DNA. That's when things change. That's when we'll do less and less hurting ignorantly because we won't be ignorant. We won't have those moments of condemnation when we speak to people. When even though we have the best intentions and our whatever gets in the way, we say dumb things in those moments. Can't tell you how many times I've started out really good. If I would just shut up 2 seconds earlier, it would have been perfect. But then I have to say my 2 cents worth, and that just negates everything I just said. Right? But that's being in that place of constant connection with the Spirit, going, okay, what do you want me to say? When do I need to shut up? Again, I'm just trying to bombard. These are just a few verses this morning on what the Spirit of Truth, the power, and the everything that we have because of this in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, starting in verse 9. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love Him. Hear that again. What no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor heart of man imagine what God has prepared for those who love Him. I can imagine some pretty fantastical things. I've heard some amazing pieces of music that move you to tears, that move you to the depths of your soul. I've seen some amazing things of beauty in people, in my wife, in my children, in all of you. No, but that's the thing, people, there's just something, Devon and I were watching something the other night, and it was just a movie, and it had one of the just characters in it. It wasn't even the main character, it was just this older person sitting at in a cafe or whatever it was, there's something beautiful about old faces. I think it's just incredible when they get really the deep lines and this the wear and tear of life, but then you see the joy and the life in the eyes. I don't think there's nothing more beautiful than that. Men, women, I don't care what it is. That the older, wrinkled, I don't know, there's just something amazing. And then if you know the story, if you know that they're walking with God, it makes it even more spectacular, right? These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. Always a phrase to think about. God has revealed to us through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. Again, trying to pile on how much we have access to. We have access through the Holy Spirit, the depths of God. You want to talk about the Spirit of Truth? We have the depths of God to access. And He's like, here's my depth. And we're just like, no, we'll take the superficial, scratch the surface, right? And we're overwhelmed by that, by the way, right? We're overwhelmed by the scratchings that we go for. For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. So we know we can't comprehend the thoughts of God, except the Spirit which we have, and the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things that are freely given to us by God. Doesn't say in here, you'll be given these things after you acquire all these things, or after you have led 45,000 people to Christ, which is not our job anyway. We're just there as it happens. It doesn't say you'll be given these things by God if you have a church over 10,000 people. It doesn't say any of that, does it? But yet we put those limitations on us ourselves. We say, I understand what you're saying, Pastor Mark. I understand, yes, I have the Holy Spirit, but you don't. No, no, there is no but. There is no but, yeah. There is like, if there's that feeling, if there's that thing that's kind of hindering you from getting that, okay, there's something that needs to be worked out and you be set free from. Right. And we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. I'm so glad that I don't have to comprehend all this, because one, it's impossible. Right? It is. I'm glad that I can just simply trust, okay, Father, you told me I have a helper, I have the Holy Spirit in my life. The moment I gave my life to Christ, I have all of you, by the way, in one moment in time. And I don't have to try to figure it out. I get to bask in this place of understanding that the Holy Spirit's going to teach me and I'm going to come alongside and surrender to that. There's my peace. Surrendering to that teaching, surrendering to that voice, surrendering to those moments that are every day, by the way, and all the time, that we're listening to the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. And so often we see the physical world and we forget that the spiritual is way more powerful and way more bigger than, way more bigger, wow, that's really good English, way bigger than what's going on, than what we can see. Verse 14, the natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. Again, this is the perfect picture of the world. It doesn't make sense to them. The Holy Spirit is not logical, right? It's not. It's not logical to think that I'm possessed by a spirit, so it's going to teach me about an entity I can't see, touch, feel, taste, right? And it's going to teach me things that I never even learned before. And, you know, all the things that the Spirit of God does, it's just, you know, from the outside perspective, we're a bunch of lunatics, right? I'm okay. I'll be a lunatic. I'm a happy lunatic. I walk in a lot of power and freedom as a lunatic, right? But they can't, that doesn't, why? Because they don't have the ability to. So again, why do we as a church, and why do we so often get on the world for not understanding? They don't have the capacity to do so. It's like taking a newborn baby and expecting them to do trigonometry, which I can't ever do, never. But anyway, I'm just saying the ridiculousness of that. But it's even more ridiculous than that. That example, as extreme as that is not big enough to have the world try to discern who God is outside of his Holy Spirit in their life. So why do we demand them to act like us? Sometimes they are. Because we're not acting and we're not living in this power. The spiritual person judges all things, but is himself to be judged by no one. For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. We have no excuse. None. I'm not saying that we can have questions. Oh, Lord, I have questions. It doesn't mean that we can't, you know, like, I don't understand this, Father. It doesn't feel, I get all that. That's, God's not asking us to go blindly around like, woohoo, everything's perfect and everything, you know. There's a piece of that, yes, we can't all be Pollyannas. I know that's a really old term, but most of you are old enough to know who that is. But anyway, you know, just everything's good and everything's sunshine and flowers and, you know, it's not. The world's it's a broken, busted place. But how do we look at it? I mean, I was talking to somebody this week about just different locations and different states and the climates and all that kind of thing. Can you find beauty anywhere? Can you build in the middle of the Mojave Desert and find beauty? Sure, if you're looking for it. Or you can just sit in the oppressive heat and, you know, get baked out of your skull, which is a reality if you don't take precautions, right? But there's beauty in that kind of, because you walk in here in Alaska, it's like, wow, it's a gorgeous country because we've got the mountains and the streams and the trees, and then people go to, you know, South Dakota and, like, you have to really think hard to find some beauty. But some people like to see the back of their head when they stand on their tiptoes, right? But, you know, it's like, why would these, you know, some of these places in Wyoming, when we drove through from Colorado, this is just where the wagon wheel fell off, because there's no way people chose to live here, right? Because it's just constant wind. Okay, if you're from Wyoming, I'm sorry. There are some beautiful places in Wyoming, I'm just saying. But see, can we find the beauty in that? I mean, we pick on some of these different states, I get there are different places in the world. But can we find the beauty in that? Can we find beauty in people that we're talking to? That's more important than any place I will ever live. Do we find the beauty in people that we're talking to? Do we see that they are created to have a relationship with Father God? Do we understand that we walk in that place and understand, and is our heart broken when they die in their sin and they die in that place without Father God in their life? Does that kill us? Or we're just like, yeah, kind of stinks to be them. Because they're operating in a place of zero power. No, they have nothing. And like I said last week and countless times before, the fact that they get up every day and don't just create heinous crimes all day long is a miracle. Because they're all operating in brokenness and no power and no life. And we as the bride of Christ have got to stop, first of all, judging each other on a level that's full of condemnation. But more so the world. We need to be showcasing the mind of Christ. We need to be showcasing the power that we live in. We need to showcase the life and the victory that we get to operate in every single day. And we start to take it for granted. Just like those of us that are married and been married for a length of time, it's really easy to start taking the other person for granted. That shouldn't happen. It shouldn't, that first year of marriage when everything is new and amazing and wonderful and you're still fighting over covers, and well, that hasn't changed. I was going to say fighting over covers happened last night, but whatever. But either, as silly as that sounds, you can either take that, because I've heard of people blowing up their marriages about something that silly. Now, it didn't start there. It started way back here when they've forgotten to love on each other and find the uniqueness of each other every single day, no matter how many years they've been together. And we can do the same thing with God. It's like, well, yeah, I'm saved now, so I'm not going to hell, and I'm good. I'm good. That's all I need. That's pretty selfish. Right? I mean, it's so easy, we put things into the physical world and we're like, that's a stupid question. Like if we were multi-billionaires and we had the ability to change somebody's life everybody needs help, I get that. But some like, man, I know if I change this person's life, their life's going to exponentially change and they're going to impact the world for a lot of amazing things. That wouldn't even be a thought in our mind, we would just do it, right? We have something more, way more better. Wow, where's my English today? So much better than billions of dollars. Don't get me wrong, I would have a lot of fun with $1 billion, right? Well, I'd have a lot of fun. But I have something greater that doesn't cost, all it has costed me is me to surrender my busted, broken, worn out life for his. Oh, he got the raw end of the deal on that one. And we walk around this place. Again, I've said many times before, and I'll keep saying it. We should be the most free, most joyful people on the planet. And I'm not talking walking around with a big old smile plastered on our face all the time. Right? Because that's not necessarily joy. But so often we get caught up in the spirit of error. I'm only going to read one scripture on that this morning. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons, the insincerity of liars whose consciences are seared, who forbid marriage and require abstinence from foods that God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. The Spirit expressly says, the Spirit of the living God says that in latter times there will some will depart from the faith. We have seen that for generations. We're seeing that even more so now. Devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons through the insincerity of liars whose consciences are seared. One could ask, is the teachings of demons being preached in a church today? And I will say, yes, it is. And I would even go farther to say that in that moment it's having more, obviously it's having damage, but to be preached with the guise that's coming from God is way more damage than them just standing in front of a, you know, you're coming in and I am going to be preaching a demonic word this morning. That would have, in my mind, this is just my own thoughts now, that would have less impact than me saying, this is from God and speaking to you a demonic word, things that are not. And all that means to me, all that is saying something that is not of God at all. And that could be the simplest of things. Because a lot of times when we think about demonic teachings, we think of the old, you know, I think of the Old Testament, you know, those when they were offering up their children to Baal, their live children, and throwing them into fire. Very demonic, right? But to me, deceitful spirits and teachings of demons is gossip. Ooh. Right? An unforgiving heart. And we go on and on and on and on. About things that, and I always say that not as an accusation against my fellow pastors and others out there, but I'm just saying I have sat in churches where they have taught demonic teachings. Through the insincerity of liars whose consciences are seared, and there you go. It's a progression down the slippery slope because they've departed from the faith. Because teaching things that tickle the ears is easy. Stating the truth out of God's word is not going to win you any popularity contests, especially now. Because truth is arbitrary. People get really offended when you say this is the absolute truth. And I'm not even talking outside the church. I'm talking inside the church. They really don't like it when you say this is what the Word of God says. Now, I can take all the emotion out of it because it's like, it's not my words. It's what God says. Well, you're interpreting it. Wow, I need to stop falling behind. You don't understand because you haven't a seminary. You don't have an MDiv and you don't have, right, I don't. But I have the power of the living God residing in me. I'm not saying those things aren't worth anything, but I'm just saying if that's your qualification, I really don't care. I know it's very judgy, but I'm just saying if we can't come back to the Word and let the Word tell, I don't care about what your education has taught you. What does the Word of God say? What does the Spirit of the living God say? You know what? I hope that as I understand the Word of God every single day, my doctrine changes to line up more with His, not with somebody else's. Because I guarantee you, from the day that I started here till now, my doctrine has changed. And I'm hopefully it's getting better and stronger. Because what I believe about things, I'm just going to keep taking you back to this. That's it. This is what I will defend anything with, is this. Even if I don't understand at all, and I was like, well, you could have questions about even some of the where I come from. I was like, well, that's a good question. Let's pray about that together and discern the heart of God together. And if we both have the heart to discern the word of the God together, I guarantee you we will come to the same conclusion. Amen. Now there are some things, you know, like end time stuff. When you get into the prophecies, now we can have differences of opinion on that kind of stuff, right? I'm not going to die on those hills. But I will die on that my Savior is born of a virgin. That he died on the cross for me. That he conquered sin and death in a moment in time. That he felt the weight of all of everybody's sins that will ever live in one moment in time. And he paid for them all. So those people that die in sin and go to hell, their sins are still forgiven. They just haven't received it. Have you ever think about that? That's what's sad. All they had to do was come and say, I agree with what has already taken place for me. But they don't, because they think they're going to lose it all. Right, you're going to lose all the pain and the guilt and the bondage. And you're going to gain freedom and life. Yet they want to believe the lie because it feels good. Isn't that some of the, it's not new. People think it's new statements. They think they're rewriting something. But if it feels good, do it. If it feels right for you, do it. If it's not offending somebody else, it's okay. Well, that's garbage thinking. Because their thinking offends me. Right? I mean, it doesn't matter. You know, I don't care what your thought process is. You're going to offend somebody. So make it sure it offends somebody, because this is your thought process and nothing else. That my thoughts are the word of God, not my ideas. My ideas should, you should be able to take my ideas and my thoughts and turn to a scripture and go, okay, his ideas aren't word for word out of this chat passage of scripture, but this is where his ideas are coming from right here. This is where he's living his life. I can look at his life, because he keeps talking about how he wants to love his wife like Christ loved the church. How is he doing it? That's a pretty easy gauge. Because how did Christ love the church? What did he do? What's the question I want to answer? What did Christ do? He died, gave everything, right? No hearts, no holds barred. Nothing in return. So I'm just going to die for you. I'm going to die for you while you still hate me. The scripture just blows my mind. While I still hated him, he died for them. So why do we get distracted by the spirit of error? Why is it, in my opinion, why is it, I just feel like so often the church is full of the spirit of error instead of the spirit of truth? There's lots of reasons, but I think the biggest one is that it's easy to preach out of somebody else's thoughts. It's easy to go through a curriculum or book, and I'm not necessarily building those things, but those things should never be preached to God's people, in my opinion, on a Sunday morning from the front. I'm not saying do a life group, those kind of things, great, that's fine. But those should never supersede the word of God. And those curriculums, those books, those whatever, should always be driving us back to a deeper relationship with Jesus Christ. And if they're not, those things need to go in the trash. Because, yeah, it's easy just to take something and regurgitate something that somebody else already thought. And they might have thought good things. It's another story altogether to sit in the tension of the Holy Spirit in your life, figuring out what Father wants you to say. And I'm not just talking about being up here. I'm talking about every single day in our conversations with our wives, our children, our friends, our coworkers, a stranger on the street. So again, this morning as we go into our prayer time, obviously, I'll invite you to pray for whatever Father has on your heart and mind. But this morning, if there's nothing readily that comes to mind, I think first and foremost, obviously, we need to pray for our elections that are coming up this week. And hopefully, this isn't the only time I've been praying for it, right? I pray that we've been on our knees and praying over our nation for a long time, not just in the last however many years. And that we pray that the person that gets in there, obviously we know from Scripture that whoever gets in there is who God puts there. There's a whole different thing there, right? And so we know we deserve. But I also know, Father, is a God that gives us so much what we don't deserve. But I know there's going to reach a breaking point with Father. The Scripture plays that out too. So I pray that we would just pray over that. Pray over that. Yes, it's been so far. But pray that it becomes peaceful. Right? Because we all have speculations of what could happen regardless of who gets in there. You know? Because we've already seen some of those things play out. So we pray over that. So, okay, well, that's happening in Washington. What about here locally? How do we live out our lives as believers and how it goes down, which the other way it goes? How do we live that out? I mean, the world's always watching us, but I guarantee you they're going to be watching us harder. How do we love? How do we, in the midst of all that, because that's gonna, how was that gonna take in that place? Is that, that's gonna be in that constant place of operating a spirit of truth, and that there's no spirit of error in our life at all. That any of those kinds of things is so not attractive to our thought process, and it can be such subtle thing. Like I said, it doesn't have to be the big dramatic things, and most of the time, that's not how the enemy operates. He operates in the really subtle things he just kind of picks away at. He kind of sneaks in the back door. Because for the, you know, a full frontal attack on most of us, we could see that coming and defend against that pretty easily. But it's that subtle little thing that comes in and worms its way in. It's just a little off of the truth and gets us going down our very destructive road. So I pray that we together would come together this morning and pray for each other, over each other, over obviously over our nation and our country and our state, because we have, you know, the local people that we have to vote for, all those different kinds of things. Because see, here's the thing. People go like, well, we're Alaska. Our vote doesn't count anyway. It's all over by the time we vote. Right? People think that way. That's not the point. What about the people that are here? It doesn't matter. It's our job. It's our calling to do, not calling. It's a little too extreme, but we should be doing this, right? We should be involved, right? Now, some people have called, you know, I've always wondered, you know, there's times like, man, it'd really be interesting to get into politics. Not me necessarily, but just how does somebody believe or get into politics? Because, you know, you never get anywhere. Because that's the thought process, right? You'll never get anywhere. You'll never change policy. You'll never. Right. If never gets in there and has some influence, it will never change. And we know there's Christian men and women who are in politics. So let's pray for them, because they're being attacked and have been for decades. That's one side, the church, and how are we doing with the spirit of truth? How are we loving? How are we speaking into each other's lives as we encourage one another? Are we doing it from a place of a pure heart? Are we doing it from a place that we're in that place of connection with the Spirit, that we will shut up in time not to say something stupid? Right? give that word of blessing or that word of encouragement or even that word of challenge, but from a place of love and care, not from a place of condemnation. Condemnation should never come out of the mouth of a believer. So those are the things that Father is impressing on my heart and mind this morning as we go into our prayer time these next few minutes. So let's go into prayer time. Father God, this morning as we were singing, the last song just keeps going around my head. Here I am down my knees again, surrendering all. Father, I just pray not just in this moment, not just today, whether we are physically on our knees or in that place in our hearts, but that here again is a daily, moment-by-moment thing. That we're constantly in that place of surrender to you. That we're constantly in that place of surrendering those things that don't line up with of who you create us to be and line up with those things that you've called us to be. That line up with who you are, more importantly. Those things, Father, that we surrender them in that moment. And surrender them to the point that we never pick them up again and that we are desperate for you. Desperate for everything that you are. So desperate that we can't breathe without you. And we can't. But that it's not just a catchphrase or it's not just something good to say in the moment, but it is absolutely the reality in which we live. that we live in a desperation. To try to comprehend who you are. As we looked over the few moments this morning, Father, that we have the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit, that's your job to teach us and remind us and to show us the depth of you, God. We have it all. But Father, I pray that we would operate. No, not operate, that we live in that place. That we're not good with existing. We want to live. We want to thrive. We want to infect the world around us with who you are, because we know that kind of infection, there's no cure to that. And it absolutely, radically transforms lives. But Father, here this morning, we need to believe that that's who we are. We are from you. We are of you. We are part of you now in this moment. You are here with us. You are here in the spaces in between the people that are sitting next to each other. You are that intimate with us. Father, I pray that you show us how to be that intimate with you and with each other, so we can showcase something different to this broken world. We thank you that we get to be part of what you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen. We are dismissed.